Let me tell you something. When I was a teenager, I was so confused that I had no idea what I was. At one time, I was a Black Panther, right? Yeah, brother, power. Right? Another time, when I was in college, hanging out with the long hair. Yeah, peace, brother. Right? These thoughts were in, this is who I thought that I was. I was trying to find my identity. Maybe that's why we can't be too hard on teenagers, because they're just trying to find themselves. I was just trying to find myself, you know? But that's why they need to be in church, because hopefully we can help them find themselves early, and they can see who they are in Christ. And they don't have to go through all the foolishness that some of us went through. Oh, come on, I'm not the only one that was out there. I'm not the only one that's out there. Some of y'all drink more liquor than there's water in the Allegheny River.
Ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the introduction to the weapons of our warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the introduction to the weapons of our warfare.
Well, you got a human strategy now that you're coming against my force with. So now I want to come up and I want to do some studying, and I'm going to come up with a well-reasoned philosophy to fight back. So somebody comes up with ingenuity, right? Well, I'll invent something that will outsmart and be bigger and better and more stronger than your well-reasoned philosophy. And then what do we use to fight ingenuity with? Whatever the latest and greatest thing is. You know where we see this at? Very clear. Is in the technology field, right? Somebody said that they are like, I was watching this program yesterday, and they said that if your computer is not protected, it is exposed. Now, again, I'm not a computer tech or guru. I'm just going by, you know, what I heard somebody say. So if this is wrong, you can correct me. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Now, if it comes down to the word of God, you know, I stand a little bit more sure on that, right? I told it, and I quote it, but I didn't wrote it. So, but somebody said there, every day, your computer is exposed to at least 265,000 viruses that are out there. And if you don't have protection, and so they say that's why you need to have a antivirus software that every day is going out on the internet and is grabbing the latest protection. Why? So that your computer is being protected. Like if your computer goes out today and grabs what is needed to protect for the software today, I mean the viruses today, well tomorrow, unless it goes out and grabs another update, then what? Then you're exposed. So what does that tell us? That is always a battle going on. Somebody created the computer, and then somebody created viruses, and somebody created antivirus software, and then somebody come up with another virus that it didn't cover, and then it just goes back and forth. This thing is crazy. But yet and still, it's the same thing in the world. That we are trying to fight the battle with all these things: opposition, resistance, human force, human strategies, well-reasoned philosophies, ingenuity. That's how we're trying to fight. And there's always going to be somebody that can outsmart you. There's always somebody that can outsmart you. Get in an argument with somebody, they're going to be able to out-talk you, and you can sometimes make your point as clear, as bright as a sunny day, and they're going to find a reason to come while you're wrong. You can't fight the battle. It's in the mind. Now, we're going to go on to some other things because we're going to take it outside the mind, too. But it first and foremost starts in the mind. And you can't fight this battle with carnal weapons. These are carnal weapons. As we go on, the battle, the weapons, this is what they are not. They are not carnal. So he moves on and he tells us, what are they then? Well, they are the opposite of carnal. These weapons are not of human origin. The believer's weapons come from God. Carnal weapons are fleshly, but the believer's weapons are spiritual. So they are not carnal. They are not, when you get into an argument with somebody and you try to come up with all these well-reasoned ideas and things that you've learned, that's not the way to fight the battle. That's not the way to fight it. And then notice what he says also. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So they're mighty. The weapons that we have are mighty. When all human resources fail, the weapons of God take effect. The weapons of God are mighty. They're powerful. And so you are fighting in the flesh. You are fighting with limitations. But when you fight with the weapons that God has provided, there is victory. What can they do? This is where I'm going to park at for a little while, on these three things here. What can these weapons do? The first thing is they can pull down strongholds. They can pull down strongholds. In the Old Testament, hey, Russell, can you give me my handkerchief? Thank you, bro. In the Old Testament, there were fortresses known as strongholds. And in these strongholds, what you had a wall all the way around. You had towers where they would put men of strategy in the towers, and that when they saw anybody coming, they would prepare the people on the ground for the attack. And most strongholds were virtually impenetrable. You couldn't get inside. And so we read in the Bible where it says God is a stronghold. That he is the one that's around us and nobody can get to us if God is our stronghold. A stronghold is a powerful thing. But from a negative standpoint, strongholds also occupy a person's mind. Now, there are two types of strongholds. There are personal strongholds and there are philosophical strongholds. What's a personal stronghold? Well, it's something that controls a person's thoughts and emotions. You know, it controls their mind. Low self-esteem, that's a stronghold. When a person has low self-esteem, that's a stronghold in their mind. When a person is prideful, that's a stronghold in their mind. When a person is dealing with narcissism, you know, they love themselves. You know, when they look in the mirror, all they see is me. They don't see that there are other people around them. All they see is me. That's a stronghold in a person's mind. When there's anger, some people just have an angry spirit, and that anger now has become a stronghold in their mind. That unforgiveness, some people are just habitual liars. I don't understand that. Habitual liars. Why is that? Because that's a stronghold in their mind. That's the way that they think. And then we see that there are philosophical strongholds. And these are unhealthy beliefs and opinion entrenched in the minds of human beings. That, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, but just think about your relative that's in a cult, right? That thing is entrenched in their mind. And now you start talking to them about it, and they don't want to hear what you got to say. And many times they want to argue with you face to face. Well, you know what? Sometimes we have to come to the point where we just stop arguing with folk because their mind is made up. The thought is already entrenched in their mind. You know, have you ever been into a conversation with somebody? Or I'm going to take it up a level. You've been to an argument with somebody, and they see things one way, and you see things the other way, and you just keep going back and forth, you know, and you start getting frustrated. They get frustrated. Why? Because you don't, you know, there ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. There's just you and me, and we just disagree, right? And so we disagree. And so you can go back and forth all day long, and nobody's going to change anybody's mind. You know the best thing to do? Walk away from it. And if you're right, that's when you begin to use the weapons of your warfare. That's when philosophical ideas and ideologies are entrenched in a person's mind. Maybe they got, you know, sometimes they might accuse you of doing something, right? Somebody accuses you of doing something. And you know that you didn't do it. But it's in this person's mind that you did it. And you can get down on all fours. You can get down on hands and knees. You can cry and kiss their feet. And they're not going to believe you. Why? Because it's something that's entrenched and locked in their mind. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about strongholds in the mind. And the only way that you can deal with them is with the weapons of the warfare, you know. And you turn a person over to God. And you say, God, I can't deal with this. Because go back to that slide before, AJ. Go back to that, the next one before that. Right there. That this is all you're going to be doing, saints. If you continue to engage, when you come to that point, this is all you're going to be doing. And it's going to take you nowhere. And the way that you're going to have a breakthrough is to see God do something. Man, my wife and I, we were praying about a situation. And it seemed virtually impossible. But we kept praying, and God sent a breakthrough. God sent a breakthrough. We had tried to talk and reason, but it seemed to be of no avail. But God, I like that. But God. God did something that if we would have talked and beat down and built up and all this, would have made no change at all. But God worked something out that we couldn't work out. So saints, I'm here to tell you that some thoughts are strongholds in people's mind. And until you realize that, and until you realize that it's got them gripped, and you keep trying to reason with them, and you keep trying to argue with them, and you keep trying to talk to them, you're just wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Why? Because he says here that there are strongholds. But then he goes on, and he says that we can cast down imaginations. Look what he says in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That there are imaginations. If you'll go to that next slide. Imaginations that are rooted and grounded in people's minds. The word imaginations comes from the Greek word logismos, and it can refer to human or satanic thoughts, views, beliefs, philosophies, or theories. And what do these do? These things exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You know, it's interesting, since this decision by the Supreme Court with same-sex marriage, that it just seems like now it's out there. And the thing that amazes me is the number of people that are going to the Word of God to say that is okay. They said, well, David and Jonathan, right, that they loved each other. They had the same love between them like the love between women, right? They go into Romans where it says about, 1 Corinthians 6, where it talks about, you know, men working with men, things that are wrong. And they say, well, that's not talking about, you know, a homosexual relationship. That's talking about sodomy. Pedophile. So, you know, you begin to talk to people, and they get locked in their mind what somebody told them that the scripture believes. And what is that? It does what? Let me tell you what it does. I'm going to go back, all right? Kind of quiet, but that's okay. Look what it says here, verse 5. Casting down imaginations, okay? That's those entrenched thoughts that occupy your mind. But notice what these thoughts do. Now, I'm teaching this morning, saints. I'm teaching you something this morning, all right? What do these thoughts do? They exalt themselves against what? They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Satan is busy. And Satan knows that if he can affect the mind, especially in the areas where it's exalted against the knowledge of God, if things that's said in the Word of God, and yet people are going against them and they're coming up with their own interpretations, coming up with their own ideas, and it's going against the knowledge of God. And you can sit there and you can plead and you can beg and you can talk to a person that has these imaginations in their heart. I talk to people, and I'm sure you have too. Sometimes my own family members. You talk to them, I'm saying, where in the world did you get that from? Where in the world did that come from? It's absolutely ridiculous. And you try to talk to them, and they'll sit there and listen, and when you get done talking, you haven't made an ounce of influence on them. As a matter of fact, you probably just kind of made them even more determined that they're going to stand against whatever you're saying, right? Saints, let me ask you something. When it comes to that point, the only thing you can do, Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So you can continue to fight the battle with carnal weapons, or not. Now, look what he said here. Look what he said. Verse 4. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That what? They're mighty. God's weapons are mighty. They cast down imaginations. And then the last thing that I want to say is that they can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Look at verse 5. Let's go back and read that again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does this mean? This means that spiritual weapons can take a person's thoughts captive. The ungodly thoughts that they have, it can take them captive and subject them to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you something. When I was a teenager, I was so confused that I had no idea what I was. At one time, I was a Black Panther, right? Yeah, brother, power, right? Another time, I was in college, hanging out with the long hair. Yeah, peace, brother. Right? These thoughts were in, this is who I thought that I was. I was trying to find my identity. Maybe that's why we can't be too hard on teenagers, because they're just trying to find themselves. I was just trying to find myself, you know? But that's why they need to be in church, because hopefully we can help them find themselves early, and they can see who they are in Christ. And they don't have to go through all the foolishness that some of us went through. Oh, come on, I'm not the only one that was out there. I'm not the only one that's out there. Some of y'all drank more liquor than there's water in the Allegheny River. All right, now you got saved. Now you're sitting up in here and you think that, that's where your mind was. But look what happened. Look what happened. Somewhere you got exposed to the Word of God. And you gave your life to Christ. And now all that foolishness that you used to do has been what? It's now subjected to the Word of God. And in the Word of God, it says that it's wrong. And so you have taken that thought captive. You have taken that thought captive and what? Subjected it to the obedience of Christ. And that when you take the thought captive and you subject it to the obedience of Christ, the Bible said you can't do that. But when you were out there doing it, I remember one day, man, I'm not trying to glorify this. I'm just going to show you where we were at. We were standing on the corner getting high, right? And a guy came by. He said, man, you brother shouldn't be doing that. You know, you're ruining your bodies. You're going to get, he started talking about all the kind of diseases that we're going to get, right? And when he left, he says, what's wrong with that dude? You know? Come on now. Some of y'all been on that same corner where I was at, right? You been on that same corner. You was right there. And somebody came and talked to you. You didn't want to hear what they had to say. It was a stronghold. But somewhere, my mother prayed for me, had me on her mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed for me. I don't know who prayed for you. I know one person that prayed for me, Pastor Alvin Berkeley, pastor of Liberty Baptist Church in Braddock. He prayed for me. Pastor Berkeley prayed for me. And I thank God for that, because it was because he prayed that what? That the strongholds were broken, that they were torn down in my mind. And so, saints, I'm here to let you know today that there's a battle going on. First and foremost, it's a battle for your mind. And if you don't gird up and understand these weapons of warfare, then you're going to find yourself with strongholds and imaginations and being captive to ungodly thoughts. But we need to realize also that there's a group of people out there that we are trying to talk to, we are trying to witness to, we are trying to win, and there's strongholds in their mind, and not until the weapons of the warfare take effect in their life are they going to see a change, and are you going to see a change. So first of all, let us keep in mind that we're in a battle, and that the battle, first and foremost, to make no mistake about it, is in the mind. Right? It's not in your body. It's not in your body. It's right up here in your mind.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Identifying the Enemies from our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Introduction to the Weapons of Our Warfare, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Introduction to the Weapons of Our Warfare. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Introduction to the Weapons of Our Warfare. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storm's life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.